Welcome to the Brannigan Podcast. On today's episode, recorded at the end of 2020, I'd like to introduce you to the team bringing our clients' brand promises and missions to life. Not only do they create eye-catching content and get it out for the world to see, they can help identify the audiences you want to reach and find them where they are. Let's sit down with Janet Roche, Vice President of Strategic Content, Griffin Goda, Director of Digital Strategy, and Monica Doro, Creative Director, to get the behind-the-scenes scoop on the team uniting audiences by bringing people and technology together. Meet the Brannigan Studio. So welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to have you all go around and introduce yourselves.
I guess I can start. I'm Janet Roche. I'm Vice President of Strategic Content at Brannigan, and I also oversee the Brannigan Studio.
Griffin Goda, Director of Digital Strategy at Brannigan. Yeah, anything on the internet, social media, websites, digital content, we kind of have a hand in here.
I'm Monica Doro. I'm the Creative Director at Brannigan, so I oversee the full creative department and anything sort of visual that goes out the door.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. So just starting off, could one of you describe what the Brannigan Studio is, just in a nutshell?
On our website, we say the Brannigan Studio is a collection of artists, writers, and strategists within Brannigan. And just kind of explain what that is. It's the area of Brannigan that houses our creative, content, and digital departments. And earlier this year, when we underwent our company rebranding, we realized we had an opportunity to create a brand within a brand. And that's how the Brannigan Studio came to be. Really because of the collaborative and unique nature of the work that each of us do in our respective areas and our teams compared to the other areas of the company, it seemed like a natural fit to give it its own identity. And also with the acquisition of the creative communications company Anthology in late 2019, the Brannigan Studio seemed like a good way to highlight our full-scale creative capabilities that Brannigan previously didn't have the full suite of creative, and now we do, and we wanted to showcase it in a really smart way.
That makes sense. So it's a good way to package all of our new capabilities together.
Yeah, and I think that the work we do at Brannigan Studio is very much interconnected among the different departments, more so than the other areas of the company. For example, on the digital side, if we create a digital campaign, it's going to consist of content and probably some creative. On the creative side, there's storyboarding that goes into a video that we produce, or script writing, and then content projects like case studies are stronger with art elements as well. So we, you know, it's rare that there's just a piece of content that has no digital component or creative component. And I think we can say that with all of the areas that we're talking about today.
Right. And it feels more cohesive to give it this studio umbrella because they are separate, but like you say, Janet, they're all so connected. And I think it helps prospective clients or anybody trying to learn more about us try to kind of understand how you can have one or two without the other, but really the full use of the studio is kind of how we see it performing optimally, like to its full capabilities, is using all three legs of that.
Agreed. I think this podcast is a great example of the interconnectedness, if I could say that word, that'd be good, among the disciplines within the Brannigan Studio. So we have the storytelling aspect that involves content. The technical side of producing the podcast involves digital, and then the logo, the identity, and digital promotion of the episodes, bring the creative team into it. So in this one area, one example, all three of our disciplines are working together.
I think the way you describe it on the website, a collection of writers, artists, and I think the other unique part about the studio is it's really not siloed in terms of skill set either. We have people on the digital side who are also writers and storytellers, and you know, we have people on the content side who have creative sides, and we have people on the creative team who also have some of that storytelling skill. And so it's, you know, I think in terms of being very integrated, just in terms of being able to talk to each other and to collaborate on projects, it's a lot easier because you're talking to people who at least somewhat speak the same language with each other.
Right. Monica, how do you feel that creative comes into the Brannigan Studio? I mean, it's kind of the heart and soul of it in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, art and copy have always gone together. I mean, that's kind of the idea behind a good ad campaign or a good video or a good app. I mean, we need the writing first, really, before we go into design. I mean, that's a big part of design, is just making sure that it visually matches what you're trying to portray. And then I think having the digital team as part of it as well, like having a strategy behind what we're doing and then putting it out there for people to see, is really important. That's kind of something we didn't have before. Like, we would do a project, give it to the client, and then it would just kind of be on them to decide how to put it out for the world. But right now, the way we have it set up, we can help them do that and decide the best strategy to get it out there.
That's a great way of putting it. Do you feel like the way the teams work together is very like linear, or is it just a lot of constant collaboration? Is it like the content part of the piece comes first and then the digital to get it out there? Or how would you describe the process for prospective clients who might not understand how that works?
I think it's two things. I think it depends where the project comes in from, like what's the initial need. So say it's an initial creative need. I think it starts there, but then said you're going to need some copy, you're going to need the content for it. And then if you do need the distribution strategy, then digital comes in there too. So I don't necessarily see it as linear in that respect, just because it depends. I feel like they always kind of interchange, I guess, is the best way that I can think to say it.
Yeah, I think that the collaboration, not only within the Brannigan Studio, but across Brannigan as a whole, is really vital to the great work that we produce. So there might be, like Griffin said, it might come in from the creative side, but, you know, we'll have like a download meeting on what this project is, or, you know, what this new client is. And, you know, through that, you know, we come up with ideas with all of our brain power, and then it might be up to creative to execute the first step of it, or content to put the words down. And then, you know, as Monica said, also, it's really important to have that strategy to ensure success. Because if you put out, if you just do a random digital campaign, or you just put out a piece of content that really isn't linked to anything strategic, it's just going to lay flat. It's not really going to be effective for the client. So, you know, we always go in, you know, what are the client's goals, you know, from a business perspective, from a communications perspective, and who are they trying to reach? You know, what is their audiences care about? What value can the client bring to this conversation or this project? And that's how, you know, through our collaboration and involving the strategic piece of it, you know, we're able to really do successful work.
And are those things that clients have to come to the table with, or is that something that do we offer consulting for that?
That's something that sometimes they come to the table with, and, you know, this really involves our communications team as well. But our first conversations with clients are to understand their goals, and maybe they don't always know them, especially from a communications perspective. I mean, from a business perspective, it's sell more products, make more money, be more successful. You know, there's a lot of that, you know, pretty basic, you know, on the business side. But sometimes the business goals are more nuanced as well. But we work with clients, and, you know, that's where some research and, you know, the comms team really comes into play to build the foundation and make sure that everybody knows what the goals are, who the audience is, what the audience cares about, what the messaging is. A lot of times starts with the comms team, and then the content team, you know, takes that and brings it to life through, you know, different formats.
Right. They have their business goals, but they also like have an idea. They know what they want to accomplish, but I think they come to us for creative ways to get there, or different ways of thinking about something that maybe they had not thought about. Different ways of presenting things or creating digital creative assets that they kind of know are out there, but they need, you know, they need experts to execute and, you know, ideate for them. So I think it runs the gamut. There's no one way that it happens for sure. But I think that's what's kind of interesting about working with clients is you don't really know. There's not a clear starting spot every time, and you need to adjust how you approach something in your process based on where you're starting with this particular client and project.
I think sometimes too, a client will come to us with sort of a problem or a new product that needs to go out, and we can suggest to them, like, this is the best way that we can put that out there, whether it be a website or an app or a game or something interactive that people are going to be interested in, instead of just a client coming and say, oh, I have this new product, let's do the same old sell sheet brochure, like, let's do something different. I love pitching new ideas to clients about that type of thing. A good example would be the virtual trade show ideas that we had to do because of the COVID pandemic. I think we had a lot of really cool ways of getting around the normal trade show that our clients maybe not have thought of.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think sometimes the clients don't necessarily, they're not experts in communications or creative, so they don't necessarily know what the options are. And our team is really good at kind of synthesizing what their goals are and then the best vehicle to execute them.
Well, that's a good segue into my next question, which obviously it has been a strange year with the pandemic. So how has that shifted the way the Brannigan Studio does things?
More Zooms. I don't know. I don't know if it shifted how we do things. I think it shifted our clients' focus on what they need and then what we needed to focus on in turn. As Monica said, virtual options were huge. And I think just adapting to this new, I think not even just virtual like events and things like that, but just like what else can we do to stay out there and to communicate with external and internal audiences. I just think it, you know, a lot of people have said like the pandemic kind of moved things along faster that were already sort of happening. And I think this is another example of digital communication, virtual events and offerings probably were coming anyway, but now everybody just had to kind of rush at the same time and figure it out at the same time.
I agree. I think that the trends were already happening, but now they're here. Like, they're not trends like that are going to be coming down the pike. The COVID forced these things to develop faster and people to jump on the trends faster because they still need to reach their clients and their customers. And when avenues are shut down, no more in-person trade shows, you just can't stop, you know, talking to your clients and customers. You have to find a different way. And, you know, technology, luckily, was the way to go.
There's been some things where it's kind of increased what we've been able to do. I think podcasts is one small example for clients we produce and, you know, set up these podcast discussions and, you know, plan the conversation. And I think an in-person discussion around a table is still going to win the day. And we all want to get back to that. But I think we learned this year that you can still produce great shows over Zoom. And in fact, probably talk with people that you wouldn't have been able to talk to before because you never would have seen them in person. So I think just the general embrace of Zoom and just virtual meetings has made it easier in some cases, kind of limited cases, I guess, but podcast being one example of being able to increase something that we saw as a trend.
Yeah, I think that's true because you can have someone on your show who lives on the other side of the country. So that's been a huge positive from this. Do you think there's a way to still get at the heart of brands' messages creatively when you aren't, let's say, developing a strategic plan for an in-person event? Like, is there a way that you can still get their message across and do it with personality?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. Yes. I mean, that's what our team has done this, you know, this whole year is, you know, figure out the workaround and to, you know, really connect our clients with their customers and their clients. So has it been a little bit more challenging? Absolutely. Everybody, you know, would acknowledge that, but that doesn't mean that, you know, our team can just say, well, this is COVID. We can't make it work for you. You know, we still have to deliver and, you know, help clients with their communications. And I think our team is doing that at a really high level.
Yeah. And in person is just one aspect of it, you know, whether or not that's available, digital communications still have to be compelling and tell your story and be creative and speak to the people it needs to speak to. So that certainly doesn't change kind of regardless if we are forced to stay home or not.
So what do you think is in store for the coming year? I mean, I think we don't necessarily know what it's going to look like, and things keep changing every single day. But what do you think that looks like in the creative space? And you, like, I know that you all said that you think certain things are just here to stay.
I'll jump in here. From the content side of things, some of the trends that we're seeing now in 2020 and, you know, even last year heading into 2021, I think there's going to be a continuation of them. And, you know, technology is, you know, advancing and bringing a greater sophistication to, you know, the way we're executing, you know, content, creative and digital. So we've been telling clients for a while, you have your website, you have your social media channels, you can create videos, you can do podcasts, you can do all of these things to get your message out. And, you know, digital is a, you know, great example of how you can really personalize the message. And Griffin and his team do this all the time for clients. So, you know, you can speak directly to your customers or your clients on social media, through your website. You can track the effectiveness with all the analytics that are available. So really, you know, messaging and communications for businesses, you know, is really operating at a high level. And you can see what people are resonating or, you know, what is resonating with people and what they're responding to. And you can adapt, you know, really quickly, you know, without investing tons of money, you know, to change your message to hit your target.
Yeah, it's interesting you say the personalized piece of that, because I think it's going to, you know, paid digital marketing is going to continue to be a major force for anybody who wants to talk to certain audiences. But one thing that's going to be interesting for next year is there's this kind of looming privacy issue that's coming around the corner with Apple's iOS 14 that they're kind of that they're going to release early next year. And I mean, kind of without getting into the nitty gritty of it, users are going to be presented more of a direct option to opt in or out of tracking in apps. So for Facebook's fighting this, but really it's going to be an interesting balance of the value of personalized ads versus the value of, you know, feeling like Big Brother and you're being tracked everywhere. Because if you lose some of that ability as advertisers to really track and deliver personalized messages, you know, I think it'll be made up for in other ways. And, you know, that's one thing with social media and digital media in general. Change is really the biggest constant, and updates is really the biggest thing. It's always changing. But if you lose some of that ability to deliver these personalized ads, you know, what comes in, how does that affect the industry? I think it's just going to be a big question for next year. And, you know, the balance between not feeling like you're tracked, but also having sites learn more about you so you do get personalized ads. I feel like maybe some people are more accustomed to that now, and that's maybe a benefit versus this weird tracking thing. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing, and kind of just one thing that we're watching in the digital space for next year to see how that impacts the industry and our clients.
Monica, what are you seeing on the creative side? What are you doing more of for clients, and where are things going?
Kind of same as what Griffin said. You know, everything technology-wise is always changing and always updating, and I'm kind of excited to see where they take it even further from a technology web standpoint, whether it's more augmented reality that can come through the web, things like that, that we, of course, always try and stay up to date with. And I actually like that challenge of, okay, let's say there's this new augmented reality. I want to figure out how to do that myself. So we can offer that to clients up. So, you know, we try and stay on top of it. We do our apps. We do our interactive sort of web 3D experiences. So I'm excited to see what else comes out and we can stay up to date on it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the things you're talking about, you know, they totally play into the digital side and the content side of things too. You know, people, you know, video has been on the rise for a long time and it's, you know, great to view on, you know, digital platforms. Podcasts, as Griffin said, are on the rise. Interactive content, you know, you're not just putting content out there, but you want people to engage with it. And, you know, more of a focus on what the user experiences. I think those are some of the trends that will filter into both, you know, creative and digital and content as well. I mean, they're talking about AI-powered copy, which wouldn't necessarily replace copywriting, but, you know, using all the digital things to make sure your messages are hyper-personalized for your audience is kind of something crazy and will be kind of exciting to see how, you know, that gets integrated into some of the work that we're doing.
Yeah, I was interested. I'm glad Monica brought up like the AR, maybe even like VR kind of side of things. I'm very interested to see where that goes because I think still going to want virtual environments and experiences, I think, going into next year. And I think it's kind of opens up opportunities to show customers or clients like different aspects of your business or like how things apply in the real world without flying a bunch of people out for like a site tour or something. Like how can you actually just do that on the web? And I think that's going to be super interesting to see how that progresses and, you know, what Monica's team does with that kind of stuff as that technology becomes available.
So I have a question for all three of you. What gets you up out of bed in the morning? What is your favorite part of your job at Brannigan? Griffin's coffee. Holding up his coffee cup.
Well, besides coffee, that's really the first thing, right?
I feel fortunate that design and art is really a passion of mine. It always has been. I've always been either doing paintings, making crafts, drawing, things like that. And now I get to actually do that as a career, which I always feel very passionate and grateful for. Not a lot of people can say that. So I love what I do. I feel very strongly about it, which gets me in trouble sometimes, I think. But that's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
What gets me out of bed in the morning, I think, is, you know, we all have like Zoom fatigue for sure. But I do think the idea of collaborating with the team that we have and figuring out the day's set of challenges and, you know, working on new projects, I think that really is exciting for me, even if it is a Zoom environment right now. I do like projects always just have more energy when you're working with other people. And especially if you're like cross team, you're working with different aspects of the company and you kind of see it all come together. I really do enjoy that part of it. Even if it's all Zoom environment, I do the collaboration and just the idea of like, okay, what is the project that we're working on? How can we make it the best thing possible? Just that general idea that, you know, especially now with, you know, our recent addition of the anthology team and, you know, rebranding Brannigan, especially with the studio, all the components of it, just kind of knowing that any project that we get, we can handle it. And we can figure it out. I just kind of like that kind of that endless challenge of it that gets me out of bed along with coffee.
Yeah. And along with coffee, I have similar thoughts to yours, Griffin. You know, I love collaborating with our teams at Brannigan. We can have a meeting, someone comes to the table or the Zoom call with one idea and everybody kind of chimes in. And then it ends up to be this really fantastic campaign that everybody's excited about and we get our clients excited about. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. And I think that's what makes our company really special. You know, sometimes it's hard and we struggle, but we keep pushing ourselves to find the answer. And we always do. And that, you know, ends up to be, you know, even better work for a client than one idea that somebody might have, you know, on their own. You know, from the writing part of it, For me, I really like the challenge of understanding the goals, the audiences that, you know, a client is trying to reach, and then creating a piece of content that really hits the mark. You know, we have a pretty diverse client base, and getting quickly up to speed on different industries that they operate in, and then putting together the pieces to make a piece of content that positions them as leaders in their industry is really rewarding. And that, you know, it can be very challenging if we're talking about something really technical, but being able to tell their story, you know, to the people they want to tell it to in a really smart way is challenging, but it's really fun.
I think it's true when you say there's always a story behind even technical aspects of our clients. So it's always just getting to the heart and soul of what they do and getting that across. So thank you all for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Learn more about Brannigan on our new website, BranniganInc.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and subscribe to our email newsletter, Brannigan Plus, for the latest. Stay tuned for new episodes of the Brannigan Podcast coming soon. Thanks for listening.